Verse number one, probably about verse number nine, and maybe a little farther, and maybe verse number 10. If you mark chapter number 11, I want you to say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says this, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage of Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Boy, I'm looking at this passage of scripture, and it is a place that I do enjoy to preach out of. It's a place that I think there's a lot of information in there. Well, I think that is about the case with all Bible. Amen. The fact of the matter is, and most of us just read over it, we don't study it, and we don't get all that we can get out of it. And this morning, I pray that we do that, considering this little colt. As I've looked at this, and many times I've preached along this line, along this subject, I was looking at it and couldn't help but notice over and over this thought and this theme, this phrase, loose him. I was thinking about this. It says in verse number 4 that they were in a place, or this colt was tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met. And a lot of us in this church this morning are in a place where two ways are meeting. A lot of us are living a life right now, and we're looking at the end. Well, you can just take the year. 2017 is coming to an end, and 2018 is fixing to begin, and we're at a place where two ways meet. I thank God. Come on, I need some help this morning, but I thank God has something special for all of us this coming year, if we'll let him do that. Now, you can't argue with that. I believe that God does have something very special for all of us, but I believe it's all, the only way it's going to happen is if you and I allow that to happen. Can I get a witness right there? As I looked at this, I wanted to notice a few things about this colt. We'll take a look at this colt for just a few moments, and then we'll be done. I'll get you out of here, and you can go celebrate with family and celebrate the new year while I sleep through it. Somebody say amen. I need somebody to help me right there. I've long passed the day where I stay up to watch a ball drop. Can I get a witness? I will watch my eyelids close long before a ball drops, and I'll be up early in the morning and getting stuff ready for my Bulldogs to play and all that good stuff, because we'll have to go through the whole prayer. I'll do prayer at the house, come up to the church and pray for them, and then I'll pray over the TV and different things like that as I'm getting ready for tomorrow. But anyhow, tonight I'm going to bed early because I got a lot of praying to do tomorrow, all right? But anyhow, I want to look at this colt, if we will, just for a few moments. And I promise I'll get you. I ain't promise I'm going to get you out of here in a hurry, but I promise I will get you out of here, okay? And the church will not keep you all day, all right? And we will get you home at some point. But anyhow, as I was looking at this colt, how many of you know this? I preached a message out of this that if God can use a donkey, He can use me. How many of y'all remember that sermon? And I believe it with all my heart. I'm not one of those that looks at the theologians in the Bible. I'm one of them that goes and looks for the dumb things in the Bible that God used, because that means I need some help this morning. That means he can use me. Hallelujah. All right. And so I looked at this colt, and he doesn't have a name. I kind of like that about him, you know. But as we look at this colt this morning, I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I noticed a couple things right here. Number one, I noticed this, that this was a particular colt. I want you to notice with me, if you will, the Bible says this, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem and unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. Now these disciples had no idea that there was a colt over in that city. These disciples had no idea that there was a colt that would be tied up and that they would go and find. Can I say this? But God knew exactly where that colt was. He didn't have a name attached to that colt, but God knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly where he was. I need somebody to help me right here. God knows exactly who you are, and God knows exactly where you are. God knows what you've gone through in 2017, and God knows what you're facing in 2018. Don't think for one minute that your life or you have come as a surprise to God. God knows all about you. He is a particular shepherd. The Bible says this. David says that he is my shepherd. I'm glad that I've got a God that cares enough about me to spend time with me and participate in my life. He is a particular shepherd, and I am a particular colt. Don't you let somebody tell you that you don't have no worth. God wants to do something great with your life. You are special to God, and he knows right where you're at. So many people are living defeated lives because of circumstances in their life, things that have happened in their life, things that have happened in their past. But God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through. And can I say this? He has an interest in you. He has an interest in you. If you're sitting in this building this morning and you're not saved, God has an interest in you. Say, I don't know God. That's all right. He knows who you are. He knows exactly where you are going to be this morning. And God has a message for you, just as much as he has a message for everybody else in this building. I noticed this was a particular colt. Well, we look at this thing and we think that we're just like everybody else, but you're not. I need somebody to help me. You are not like everybody else. You are not like everybody else. God knows exactly who you are. God knows what makes you tick. God knows where you're at. And he knows the circumstances that you're in. He told these disciples, he said, I want you to go over there. And when you get there, you're going to go into this town. You're going to find a colt. He's going to be without a door, and he's going to be tied where two places, where two ways meet. He said, loose him. Loose him. I noticed a particular colt, but I noticed this. I noticed that he was a prepared colt. He was a prepared colt. The Bible says this about him. It says that in verse number 2, it says, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. I noticed not only is this a particular colt, but this was a prepared colt. Say, how is it prepared? I want you to notice he said this, whereon never a man sat. God said, this one's special. This one's special. His circumstances have dictated that he is special. He's different than other colts. I need somebody to help me right here. I want to say this. A lot of times we are convinced that our circumstances has damaged us to the point where we can't be used by God. But God has prepared you. What you have gone through, God has prepared you. The divorce that you went through, that the rest of the churches tell you, you can't do nothing else for God. God is using it to prepare you, because God works all things together for our good. It doesn't mean that all things that happen to us are good, but God works together all things for our good. God is preparing you. Whatever you've been through, say, preacher, I've been through divorce. God's preparing you. Preacher, I've been through abandonment. God has prepared you. Preacher, I had to give up a child for adoption. God is preparing you. Preacher, I've had an abortion in my life. God is preparing you. Preacher, you don't know the addictions that I face. God is preparing you. And though he ain't, listen to me, God ain't evil, and he ain't, come on now, he ain't pushed any of us into sin, But he works all things together for our good. What better way to reach an addict than to have somebody that's been addicted, somebody that knows what they're going through, somebody that's faced the addictions that they have, to come up and say, Jesus, save me. What better way, what better person to talk to somebody about a divorce and help comfort them through a divorce than somebody that has been through it in their own life? God is preparing you. I need somebody to help me. Oh, I see a particular cult, meaning God knows exactly who you are, where you are. God knows all about your circumstances. But I see this. This is a prepared cult. God is preparing you for something great this year. Hey, somebody in this building, you got pregnant at an early age, had to go through the shame. I need some help right here. Say, I had to go through the shame of people looking at you, looking down on you because you was pregnant before you got married. Had the shame of somebody looking down on you because you were still in high school when you got pregnant. Had to go through all of that. Then had to raise a youngin' all by yourself. I need some help, y'all. Somebody better get with me. I'm going to go running around slapping people. Amen. I ain't kidding. This is crazy. There's somebody in here that's been through something and it's so bad. They don't want to have to relive it, but God's going to walk a little girl through the door. She's going to be about 16 years old and she's going to be pregnant and nobody wanting to have anything to do with her. Everybody's looking down on her. And there's going to be a woman in this church that's going through what she's going through. And God shall say, loose her. Amen. One of these ladies going to put her arm around her and say, I know what you're going through. And she's going to be different than all the other ladies that are saying it because she's actually been through it. She's actually had to deal with it. And as they sit on a pew and as they cry about what God can do in her life, it'll occur to them that everything they went through was just preparation for use. God was using them. Some of you had to battle back through your marriages. Some of you had to fight for your marriage. And there's going to be somebody in here that's going to, that big word's going to come up. That big word that nobody wants to talk about. That big word that we don't want to say. It's going to show up in big, bright letters. And there's going to be somebody that's going to be able to walk up and put their arm around them and say, hey, I prayed and God, he put my family back together. Praise God. I need somebody to help me right there. Hallelujah. There's going to be somebody else that theirs didn't work out. And they're facing divorce. They're going through a divorce. And there's going to be some lady sitting in this building, some man sitting in this building, going to be able to come and put your arm around him and say, look, I know what you're going through. I felt this way before. But I tell you this, God's big enough. God's big enough. We say a particular cult, but we say a prepared cult. You understand today, God's preparing you for something. Say, preacher, I had a bad go at it in 2017. God's preparing you for something. Say, preacher, you don't know my life has been horrible ever since this took place. But God's been using it to prepare you. It won't be long. God's going to loose you. He's going to loose you. Oh, I need somebody to help me. It hurts right now, and it's a struggle right now. What you're going through is rough right now, but God's going to release you. Hey, you're going to help somebody. This was a particular quote. Say, preacher, I feel so dirty. Preacher, I feel like I let everybody down. Preacher, my sin, preacher, it's ever before me. David felt the same way. He cried out to God and said, create in me a new heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God said, okay. I need somebody to get that right there. God said, oh, okay. If that's what you want, I'll do it. Oh, I need somebody to help me. If that's what you want, I'll do it. David said, more than anything, my sin is ever before me. I confess, God, I'm sorry. God said, okay. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God said, okay. God knows exactly who you are and what you're going through. God's using your circumstances to prepare you.
this colt, any other colt, I need somebody to help me. Any other colt wouldn't done. It wouldn't have do. He wouldn't do. God, he didn't ask for any colt. He didn't say, just go over there to the horse farm and get me a colt. He didn't say, go over there and find a farmer and get me a colt. He said, there's one in particular that I'm interested in. Because there's never a man set on him. In other words, the very circumstances of that colt. That colt, for his purpose in life, was to carry things, and he never carried anything. He never had anything put on him. But God said, oh, I need him. Because I don't want to get too far. I don't want to get too far. I got to preach that point last. God said, there's something special about him. There's something special about this colt. I know what he's been through, but there's something special about him. He was a particular colt. I noticed this was a prepared colt. I noticed this was a pardoned colt. He was pardoned. Say, preacher, how do you get that? I want you to notice this. The Bible says this, that he was a locked colt. The Bible says that he was tied. He was tied in a place where two ways met. I noticed he was locked. Not only that, but I noticed he was loosed. And then I noticed this, he was led. Does that not sound like salvation to you? I've been in my life, I found this out to be true. I was in a place where I was locked down. I was confined. As a matter of fact, I was in bondage, if you will, to sin. And God came to where I was at, and he loosed me, and he began to lead me. It's a pardoned colt. I like it. I like it a lot. Matter of fact, I like this colt so much. As I go and do some more studying on this colt, you'll find out that he had to be redeemed. The Bible goes back, and in the law, in the Mosaic law, this donkey right here, there was a price that had to be paid for him. If that price wasn't to be paid for him, then his neck was to be broken. So he was a redeemed colt. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Oh, God wants to do something with your life, but you're going to have to be loose today. I don't know if there's somebody in here that's lost. Maybe there's somebody that come in here with family, and I'm glad you're here, and it's wonderful that you're visiting with us this morning. But I want to tell you something. God knew you was going to be here. God knew the message that you need to hear, and right now you're tied down to some things. Right now you're locked up in some things, and God wants to loose you this morning. I was reading on one of my friends posted something on Facebook from Brunswick, and it was about monkey bars. How many of y'all remember monkey bars? Come on, I need somebody. That was, come on now. That's what we used to have fun with. Amen. I didn't have no TV screen, no little old screen that we did this all day. Y'all know, you ever seen the teenagers today that cross-eyed? Huh? We didn't have that stuff. I remember. My house was the place to be. I didn't have any toy. Now, listen, my parents, they didn't have no money. But my daddy, he'd make all kind of stuff. I had a basketball goal that he got pipe. I don't know if he stole it or what, but anyhow, he got pipe, and we had this big old basketball goal out in the backyard, and all the kids come play basketball. And I had a trampoline. Bought it used with a tear in it. Had to be careful where you jump. I need somebody to help me right there. Hey, amen. Toughen you up. Can I get a witness? We didn't have no cage around ours. We didn't have pads around ours or anything. You know how many times I went through the springs on a doggone? You know how many times this conversation took place? Watch this. Only to be laying there on the ground afterwards crying. I think I broke a rib. I remember my daddy, he got some galvanized pipe and he made me a swing set and it had monkey bars. Man, y'all come on now. He got them there at the shop and they welded it all up. They got it all fixed up. And anyhow, all the kids in the neighborhood, they was at my house playing basketball on the trampoline or on them monkey bars. And we had swings on each side of it. Daddy had it all fixed up for me and everything else. And we didn't have no slide. We didn't do all that. But we had the swings and we had the monkey bars. And I was reminded of it. I can remember my dad getting out there and trying to teach me how to do the monkey bars. Is everybody all right? I mean, when you first start off on a set of monkey bars, it ain't as easy as it looks. Right. And I remember Dad out there, and I like to climb anyhow. I'd climb a tree in a heartbeat, do stuff like that when I was growing up. But this was one of them things you had to, you know, go across some monkey bars. And Daddy was out there working with me, and I'd climb up there, and the thing, it seemed like it was 20 foot tall. I'm sure it wasn't, but probably 8 foot tall. I was just that small. But anyhow, we get up there on that thing, and I can remember hanging there, and Daddy said, reach for the next one. I'm kind of good where I'm at. Can I get a witness? Amen. Matter of fact, if you could help me down right now, it'd be good. No, reach for the next one. No. I'm safe right now. I need somebody to help me right now. I'm safe right where I'm at. He said, but you got to reach. I said, but Dad, so much can happen if I turn loose with one hand. Come on now, I need somebody to help me right here. This is how our life is. The devil's got us bound up. We're hanging on for everything that we got right now. And God's saying, all right, go to the next one. It's comfortable where I'm at, though. I started to get you to bring your ladder in. I was going to get some guys to hold it up and get one of these youngins to demonstrate, but to go to the next one, you got to let go. To move forward, you've got to turn loose of something. I need somebody to help me right here. Whatever you're secure in, you're holding on to right now, but to go any further, you're going to have to turn loose and reach. You're going to have to turn loose of that hand. I found out this. That once I got going, come on, I need some help. Once your momentum gets going in that direction, it kind of carries you. And then once you start, the next one's just easy. And then the next one's just easy. And you can just go right across that thing before you know it. I notice this also, if you hang too long in one spot, it's more difficult. The longer you hang around in one spot, the more fatigue sets in, and it's more difficult to reach the next one then. But if you ever turn loose and get that momentum, you can go, oh, I need somebody to help me right here. Some of you are locked down. Hey, some Christians locked down this morning, and God's wanting to take you to the other side, but you won't turn loose of what you're counting on. You won't turn loose of what you're comfortable with. You won't turn loose of your comfort zone. Because right now you ain't getting hurt, and that's the way you like it. You don't want to get hurt. But if you're going to go any farther, you're going to have to turn loose. God's trying to loose somebody this morning. God's trying to loose a Christian this morning. God's trying to loose somebody that's lost this morning. I don't believe in that preaching junk. I don't believe in all that Jesus stuff. I know you graced us with your presence, and we appreciate that. But the fact of the matter is, if you die without Christ, you're going to burn in hell. So I don't believe it. It doesn't matter. It don't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter. You can believe you're invincible. You take a bullet in the forehead, it's over. Somebody help me right there. Doesn't matter what you believe. Somebody needs to be loose this morning. The devil's got a hold of you. He's got you bound up. He's got you tied up. You've been tied up your whole life. You got an opportunity this morning to be loosed. Be pardoned. Be pardoned. Be loosed. Be redeemed. Bought. Purchased.
Amen. Glory.
Not with money.
That's right.
But by blood.
Amen. Yes, sir.
As a Christian in here, you're locked down too. You've been hanging out in the same spot for a long time. You done got tired. God wants to take you farther, but you done got tired. It's going to take faith. I remember looking at Daddy and saying, I don't want to do it. I need some help right here. I remember looking at Daddy and saying, I don't want to do it. Daddy said, you're going to go across, or you're going to have to do it. There ain't but one way to get from this side to that side, and that means you're going to have to turn loose with one of your hands and reach for that other one. My daddy taught me some hard lessons, but I tell you this, I look back on life, and I sure am thankful that my daddy wasn't easy on me. I sure am thankful my daddy didn't let me stop, didn't let me quit. Turn loose. Say, preacher, I've been hurt. Turn loose. Preacher, I've been hurt. Somebody in church hurt me. Turn loose. Tell let it go. You got to let it go. If you're going to go any further, you got to let it go. Preacher, but you don't know what I've been through. I don't have to know what you've been through. I know what he's been through, and he's paid the price for you. All you got to do is turn loose. Turn loose. Let it go. Hey, preacher, I'm struggling. Let it go. Have faith. Take the next step. Preacher, I don't know where the next step is going to take me. Good. You're in the right spot. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. If I knew everything that was going to happen and I based every decision off of everything that I knew was going to happen, I would never get anywhere with God. And I sure wouldn't please him. Talk to me. We got a particular colt. We got a prepared colt. We got a pardon colt. Lastly, I want you to notice this. We got a participating colt. The nature of this colt. The Bible says, whereon never a man sat. The nature of this colt wasn't to be led or to be submissive. Can I get a witness right there? I need somebody to help me. He'd never been trained. He'd never been broke. I remember when we was in South Carolina, we had some good friends and they had some horses. And he'd get out there and man, this man knew what he was doing. Him and Dalton. Dalton went out there all the time and rode horses and kept, you know, helped him with the horses and everything. My kids loved horses. I thank God that I never had one. Somebody say amen. I'd just like to stop right now and praise the Lord for a little bit. Because I'm going to tell you something. They eat. Amen. I don't mind. I hope I don't make anybody mad. I don't mind feeding something that I can kill and put in the freezer. But if I'm feeding something just so he can stand out there and at me when I don't feed him. It's all right. Y'all don't get mad at the preacher. All right. That's why I bought a steel horse. Can I get a witness right there? You put gas in him. He says, thank you. He said, whoa, thank you. You run the gas at him. You don't have to feed him again until you want to ride him again. Don't try that with a real horse. This man would get out there with them horses and he'd get them every now and then, them young horses, and they, can I get a witness right here? They don't like anything being put on their back because they've never had anything on their back. They've never had anything on them. You put something on them and they will, they'll go crazy. I mean, they ain't liking it at all. And boy, he'd get out there with them horses, and I remember he had a round pen. I don't know nothing about it, so if I'm saying something wrong, tough, all right? I have no idea. I just know what I seen. He had this round pen, and he'd get out there with this horse, and he had this horse on a rein. I was fixing to call it a leash. Y'all can see where I know about dogs or how much I know about horses. But anyhow, he'd take that horse, and that horse would run around that ring, and he'd stand right in the middle of that ring, and he'd cut him off. And he'd cut him off. And he'd take that horse, and every time that horse tried to get away from him, he'd cut him off. He'd stay in the middle of that ring. That horse was on the out, and that horse would run, and he'd cut him off. And he'd just work his way to him until that horse calmed down and where he could handle him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that by nature, you don't just go jump on a horse. By nature, come on now, I need some help right here. They ain't willing participants. And yet here, listen to me, we got a colt. He was particular. God knew exactly who he was, where he was. He was prepared. God took his circumstances from his life and prepared him for what he would be doing. He was a pardoned colt. But this one participated. He allowed God to lead him. God sent two men, two disciples to get him. And he listened. Oh, I need some help right here. He listened to those that God sent to lead him. That means a preacher. I see this as a Sunday school teacher. I see this as other leaders in the church ministry leaders. That colt he just submitted by nature. His nature wasn't to do that.
That's right.
But because of his relationship with the Lord, he was leadable. I noticed not only his nature, but I said this earlier, he had no name. I preached this from the time that I've gotten here. My name, your name, isn't what's important. I never forget, they had that sign out there and they took Carlton Allen's name off of that sign and wanted to put my name on that sign. I said, we don't need my name on that sign. Is everybody with me? And to this day, my name ain't out on that sign. If you're looking for this church because of Robbie Harrington, you won't find it. But if you're looking for this church, if you're looking for Calvary Baptist Church because of the Lord, you will find it.
Amen.
It ain't about me. I've tried to push that in this church from the time I've been here. It ain't about us. This colt's proof of that. He ain't got no name. He wasn't named Silver Bullet. He wasn't named Black Beauty. I need some help right here. It wasn't about how glorious the colt was. Matter of fact, we don't have a description of how he looked. We don't have a description of how he acted. All we know is that he was tied up and that God loosed him. All we know is that God sent for him and he was brought to him. No name. Y'all get that. Sometime about lunchtime today or after while y'all eating, y'all gonna get that. It ain't about me. Say this with me. It ain't about you. Say it. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. See, y'all say it with me. It ain't about me. Say it again. It ain't about me. It ain't about me. This colt, thousands of years have gone by and still nobody knows the name of this colt. Nobody knows how he died. Nobody knows how many degrees he had. I need some help right there. Nobody knows when he was born. Nobody knows who his daddy was. Nobody knows who his mama was. She's mentioned, but nobody knows who she is. We didn't get to look at the pedigree to make sure it was a thoroughbred. Because he didn't matter. He wasn't the most important part of the story. Even though he dominates the story, he's not the most important part. I need somebody to help me. His nature says that he wouldn't do it, but he was pardoned, and so he did. He had a relationship. His name, we never see it, but yet God used him greatly. I need some help. God used him greatly, even though he didn't have a name. But the notoriety of this thing, you know what? He done something that you and I should do. He carried Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says, give him a Bible. Hand him a Bible right there. The Bible doesn't tell us the name on this colt, but the Bible does tell us this. It says in verse number 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Hey, that donkey. He was just a willing participant. That colt just showed up because he was told to show up. He brought and he was doing what he was told to do. And they put garments on him. He probably thought, what in the world are they doing? Jesus climbed up on him. He said, oh, there's something different about this one. Oh, there's been a many a handler that's handled me. There's been a many a person that's done things, but this one, he's different. I bet when Jesus said, bring him here, he said, I know that voice.
Yes.
I know that voice. I know that voice. That sounds like I had some ancestors that told me about a voice that spoke like that out of nothing and said, let there be light. He knew that voice. And Jesus got on his back, sat upon him. And as he went into Jerusalem, they put stuff out for him to walk on. I'm thinking that a horse ain't going to like that. I'm thinking he likes a clear path, but he knew who he was carrying. He done met him at that time. He knew that voice. And he walked through there, and the whole time he walked through there, they were saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. I'm sure that donkey wasn't thinking, whew, yeah, they calling on me. Had a little swagger to him as he walked in. No other donkey carried Jesus in. I need some help. He didn't have a name, but he carried the most precious gift. Can I say this? Your name may never make it to a marquee sign. Nobody might ever know about you. They might know about what you've accomplished. They might never know about what you've accomplished, what you've done, or anything else. But the important thing is this: have you carried him? Wherever you go, have you carried him? There's no greater honor than to carry him. We're not carrying just another man. We're not carrying just another theologian. We're not carrying just another teacher. We're not carrying just another rabbi. We're carrying God.
Amen.
What an honor.
Yes, sir.
What a privilege.
Yes, sir.
To be able to participate in God's plan.
Yes, sir.
To take Jesus to the world.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You'll never do that as long as you're tied up and hanging on. You have to turn loose. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of your nature. Oh, I need some help right there. That donkey, we're a lot similar to that donkey in that our nature isn't for us to be submissive either. Come on now, I need some help right there. I need a husband and a wife to say amen. I thought so. Don't make me preach Ephesians chapter number 5. Got to turn loose. To move forward. Heads bowed, eyes closed, Dalton going to the piano. 2017 has come to an end. Some of you is hanging on. You got to move forward. You're going to have to turn loose some. Turn loose. Altars are open. Folks are coming. You're welcome. Visitors, you're welcome. People are already going back. They'll be baptized. If you're being baptized, going back. Miss Chelsea. Shell. You got it. People are still coming to the altar. You're welcome to come to this altar. It'd be a good thing this morning for you to get turned loose. Are you hearing me, Christian? It'd be a good thing for you this morning to get turned loose. Quit blaming everybody else. Quit blaming your circumstances. God's using them to prepare you, but you're going to have to turn loose. Maybe there's somebody in here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm not saved. Preach, I've been bound up for all my life. I've been bound up. No joy. Searching. Not knowing. But this morning I know the Lord was working. He's working on me. Preacher, I felt like the message was for me. I felt like he was talking to me. Thank you. Can I say this? I believe he was. How about this morning? You turn loose. Preacher, I'm scared. I'm scared I ain't gonna be able to live up to it. You can't. I can't either. I try as hard as I can. I do. I try as hard as I can, but I'm just like Paul. Paul said, those things I want to do, I don't. Those things I try to do, I don't want to do, I end up doing. He says, I struggle. That's just part of being a Christian. You're not going to be perfect. God doesn't expect you to be. God wants you to be. He wants you to be holy because he's holy. But I want you to understand something. If it was up to living a perfect life, I'd be in bad trouble. This preacher, I'd be in bad trouble. I'd struggle. I wouldn't make it through a day. So I ask you this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around, say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. But God's touched me this morning. There's something going on, preacher. I don't know I'm saved. I want you to pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure. There's doubt. Preacher, please pray for me. Is there anybody in here? Be honest with the preacher. Look right up at me. Make eye contact with me, preacher. I'm not saved. Thank you. You put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I appreciate you being honest. Preacher, I'm not sure. Just look up. Make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you or send nobody to you. That ain't what we're doing. That ain't what we want to do. You be honest with me. That's all I'm asking you, to be honest with me. Preacher, I'm not sure. Anybody else? Okay, you can put your head down. Anybody else, be honest with the preacher this morning. I appreciate you being honest with me. I'm gonna be honest with you. You did what I asked. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, and that's pray for you. My prayer ain't going to save you. I don't want you to get that impression. I'm just praying for you because I said I'd pray for you. But I want you to get real serious about it for a moment with me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for these that have looked up. God, I remember being in that place. I remember sitting in the church service just like this. I remember the Holy Ghost dealing with my heart, convicting my soul of my need of salvation. God, I remember a preacher giving an invitation, Lord, and inviting me to come and take Jesus by the hand. God, that's exactly what we want to do this morning. Lord, I thank you for their honesty, but God, right now, Lord, what they need is courage. And Lord, as we bow our heads and we've closed our eyes, God, as we've given an opportunity, God, I pray today that they would turn loose and take advantage. Lord, I pray today that they would turn loose of what's got them bound and that they would reach out, Lord, for you. God, help them, Lord, not to walk out these doors the same way they walked in. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. If you looked up at me, I wanted to give you an opportunity. I'm standing right down front. It's your choice, your decision. I'm not pressing you into anything. We're not going to make it. This ain't about joining the church or anything of that nature. This is about you walking out of here with the peace of mind, the peace of God. Saved to the uttermost. If you'll let me help you, I want you to do this for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to get up out of your seat. Nobody's looking. Come right here to where I'm at. Let me get you some help. Will you do that this morning? Hey, I had to do the same walk. Trust me. I ain't telling you something I didn't do. I had to do the same thing. It's all right. Ain't nobody going to make fun of you. I've been there. Won't you come? Sean, come help me. somebody else. I was there. I was there. I'll never forget. Sitting on the second row, my heart about to pound out of my chest. The weight of my sin upon me. Knowing that if I didn't get right, knowing that if I didn't get saved, there was a great possibility I was going to die and go to hell. God loved me. In spite of how bad I was, God loved me. In spite of how bad you are, or what you think you are as far as being bad, God loves you. Say, preacher, I'm worried what somebody else might say about me. I'd rather be ridiculed here than rejected there. I need somebody to help me. I'd rather be ridiculed here than rejected there. But I'll tell you something. Ain't nobody gonna make fun of you in this church, and at least let me know about it. We're gonna celebrate with you. We're gonna praise the Lord with you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for our services. God, I pray you get all honor and glory out of everything that's done today. Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.